The highlands of Panama naturally host rare frogs and orchids. If approved by regulators, these hills and valleys could also be home to salmon engineered to have extra genes. This genetic tinkering allows them to grow to full market weight in about half the time of regular fish.
The original fish that was made, that was the fast-growing salmon, was made about 20-odd years ago, and it basically is a growth hormone from the Chinook or king salmon being driven by a switch that turns on when the water goes cold. And so these fish grow consistently throughout the year instead of slowing down during the winter.
Allison Van Inenem studies genetically engineered animals at the University of California at Davis and is something of an expert on the aqua advantage salmon. She recently spoke at the Bodega Marine Laboratory to discuss the science and politics of the salmon. The company behind the fish, called a frankenfish in some press reports, has been seeking U.S. regulatory approval since 1993. The fish, and the possibility that it could appear on dinner plates, has raised alarm in many circles, from conservationists, from fishermen, even in Congress. Since a contentious public hearing in 2010, the fish's approval has been indefinitely stalled. Most salmon eaten globally is artificially hatched and fed. Farm-raised salmon escape frequently into the seas, breeding with and diluting the genetics of wild salmon. But aqua advantage, if approved, would be different.
It's often suggested that these fish are going to be grown in the open ocean, and actually the application was to grow these fish in land-based facilities as triploid sterile females. And so although you can talk about them getting out into the ocean, all of the containment measures that are in place really preclude that from being a concern.
As triploid females, having three chromosomes instead of two, these fish wouldn't have fertile eggs. The meat itself is no different from normal Chinook, according to a panel of scientists advising the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. So, what's the problem? For some consumers, the idea of engineered fish has an ick factor. Many fishermen and politicians from salmon-dependent areas vocally oppose the fish because it threatens their economy. Others, such as Robert Streifer, a professor of bioethics at the University of Wisconsin, believe that businesses can't be trusted to fully follow the set safety measures. Take, for example, what has happened with genetically modified corn and soybeans.
Follow-up studies show that farmers comply roughly about 70% of the time with the requirements.
Van Inenem worries that, if regulators and the public remain focused only on the possible negatives, we'll miss out on the advantages.
My concern with the whole process is that there are some real benefits that could be derived from genetically engineered animals, disease-resistant animals, for example, that I think would fall in with most people's definition of sustainability, and that the animals would be healthier, you'd use less antibiotics, better animal welfare, more productive for the farmer. It basically would be a good application. The problems with the regulatory process is preventing any investment in the US in the development of these more sustainable approaches.
China, for example, is moving to approve a genetically engineered pig that absorbs certain nutrients more easily and produces manure that is not as bad for the environment.
It's a more environmentally friendly pig, if you will, and it is going forward in other countries that see the value of this technology.
I'm Danielle Venton for KRCB's North Bay Report.